Please state your
Cyclone Fanatic. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Your weekly audio tour inside, outside, and all around the Iowa State University athletic programs. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast is powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. No other realtor comes close to offering the level of service and amenities provided by Mark Charter. Buying or selling a home in your future? Check out markcharter.com. And now, on with the show. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Adam Gray, and Mark Charter.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to, well, it's a tip-off Friday here at CycloneFanatic.com. Good day, because it's not football that we're going to be talking about here on the FAW Friday after work. For those of you dorks who didn't go out when you were in college on Fridays, Mark Charter, the Mark Charter Real Estate Podcast. Did you do the Friday after class, Mark, back in the day?
I did, yeah.
Good for you. You seem cool enough, like only dorks didn't go out on Friday afternoon.
I'll be the first to admit, I was not there on a weekly basis, and I knew lots of people that were.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their thing.
Oh, yeah. I'd show up at 3:30, chasers, man.
Yeah.
Part
of the problem is the woman that's now my wife was also my girlfriend way back then. And she was always at a different school, so Fridays were a lot of travel to see her, etc.
But if you would have been there every week, you would have...
I'm familiar with what it was.
Well, at least you know about it. What about you, Gray? Did you do the Friday after class?
You know, I hit it up from time to time. I was not a regular. I enjoyed my college time, but I wouldn't call myself a big-time partier like I am now. I mean, people know me now. It's just crazy.
Huge.
You're just getting after it.
You're like Frank the Tank.
I get better with years the older I get. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. Hey, excited for hoops, though, guys. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a crappy week for Iowa State football fans, rightfully so. It's been a crappy week for everybody, I think, up at Iowa State. I don't know about you guys, though. I'm ready to cut the old umbilical cord, you know what I mean?
Turn the page a little bit. However, I am curious for a quick recap on the bus ride, because last week we talked about the bus ride,
yes,
et cetera.
And did anybody brown
How did
in
that
the bus?
Go?
Adam?
You know what? I didn't put a camera there, Chris, to capture anyone browning.
But you would have been able to tell if somebody browned in the
bus. I was in the front of the bus, so I did not catch any whiffs of anyone browning in the bus behind
but
me.
But I have a feeling you would have gotten complaints if somebody had browned in one of the buses.
I didn't get any complaints, so browning did not appear to be an issue to me. The bus trip went great. I mean, we got down there and back safe. The bus drivers did a fantastic job. Everything was on schedule. The only complaint was obviously the football game was just a dud. And, you know, you get back on the bus and you got people complaining about the game and the state of the program, which was unfortunate. But for the most part, hopefully everyone that went on the trip had a good time, and they'll look to do it if we do it again in future years.
I'm sure they will. Not if Iowa State isn't any better at football, though. That's going to be a tough... Seriously, in all seriousness, if this doesn't get better, it's going to be tough to sell football bus trips from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, my last three football bus trips have been the bowl game, where we got waxed by Tulsa.
Yeah.
Kansas State last year, we got waxed. And then Kansas. I didn't think Kansas State last year could be any worse. This year for Kansas might have been, just because it was Kansas. We don't need to get into it.
We don't have to dwell on it. I agree with turning the page, but that was, I think, our worst loss in the Rhodes era, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ugly, awful.
Charter, gross. You were in Vegas.
Yes.
All right, you got to give us because we have to live vicariously through you and your wild life that you live. What happened? Give me something. Anything like the hangover? Did any guy like jump out of a trunk of a car and try and beat the crap out of you? Anything?
Well, I was telling you guys beforehand that the highlight of the trip was one of my fellow travelers getting his butter confiscated at the airport. So I think it's better though if I don't explain that at all.
Yeah.
Say his butter got confiscated.
How do you keep butter cold?
I don't think it needs to be cold, does it? I don't know.
I think butter needs to be chilled.
I guess I'm not a butter expert. I'll tell you, this is my takeaway from Vegas. It's tougher to gamble in Vegas than you think, at least successfully, because I went out and anybody that listened last week and heard my picks, those were the picks that I was playing in Vegas. So
yikes.
It was ugly. The casinos will be expanding because of me. And Vegas is really fun, but not somewhere you want to spend a whole lot of time in, because you will go broke, you will get divorced, and you will catch diseases. And that's just my take on it. So, and none of those three apply to
diseases,
me.
Diseases like Ebola?
Ebola. Yeah, absolutely Ebola. I'm lucky to be here today recording this. 2 days ago, my voice was gone from the trip, and it's just now recovering a little bit. So I did it right. I did it right.
You're just like swearing at people at the sports book?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The bad thing about gambling on games, obviously losing, is bad.
Yeah.
But when you're at least anticipating 3 hours of excitement, and those games were over quick, and when you know your bet is gone right off the bat for the most part, that's just a really discouraging feeling. And that happened in several games that I tried to bet. But this week, I'm coming back strong. I'm predicting 5-0 again this week.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good bounce back.
Yeah.
From 1-4 last week, right?
5-0 this week.
Okay.
I feel real good.
Now, Chris, how'd you do in your picks?
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Why do you have to rush to that? We all want to talk about basketball.
I know people that are listening.
The guy who went 2-3 wants to rub it in that he was two games better than another guy in picks.
How pathetic is that, that the winner of last week had a losing record?
Yeah, I was going to say, we all, like, if you combined us all, we all made five. We were one for three, basically, on our picks, if you combined everything last week.
If you're listening, stay tuned, though, because my pick of the year is coming up. And this is the one you bet your house on to steal from Scott Sipker on 1460.
Wow.
Bet your house.
Well, and Scott stole that from about 15 other people.
Probably.
I love Scott Sipker. I went to college with Scott Sipker. Mm-hmm. But that's not original. it's like, if you're listening to that and you're like, oh, that's really creative. No, he ripped that off. But anywho.
Okay.
No, but I think the biggest takeaway is if you do gamble, don't listen to us based off of our track record at this point.
Based on week one, listen to me. Based on week two, do not.
Yeah. And that, isn't that the life of a gambler, though?
Oh, absolutely. Ups and downs.
Like we talked about last week, the Ole Miss kid snapping his leg as he goes into the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Anyways, basketball tonight.
Yep.
Who's in town? Oakland is in town. Remember Percy Gibson?
Percy Gibson, yeah.
Percy Gibson currently plays for them, except he's not playing. He won't play until next year. I was doing some research on the non-conference schedule. Depending on when this gets posted, I'll have like a complete overview of the non-conference schedule coming up at some point on Friday. Did you know, remember Chris Babb?
Oh, yeah.
His little brother is on that Arkansas team.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's coming to town.
Kind of looking to recruit him a little bit.
Yeah, and they never, I don't think they ever offered
him. No, they did not.
There's a lot of interesting deals with this non-conference. Remember Calvin Godfrey?
Memphis.
Yeah, he's at Memphis now, but he was at Southern, who is coming to Hilton Coliseum.
That would have been interesting.
In December. Yeah, it's a weird non-conference schedule, I think, for Iowa State.
It really does feel like Calvin Godfrey played for Iowa State about 15 years ago.
I know, doesn't it?
Seems like a long time ago.
He would have been really good.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been a solid player.
I mean, he's not real skilled, but he's the type of guy they needed the last couple
of
years.
He's a glue guy. He's a guy that can come in and get those dirty buckets for you. Maybe offense is struggling. Kind of what Dustin Hoge did for us last year in Madison Square Garden. We couldn't make anything, but he was there to kind of clean up and get some cheap buckets.
Yeah.
Hoge did a lot more than that in that game. Don't get me wrong, but he did a lot of the kind of ugly scoring that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Godfrey could have been that guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've seen another national writer come out and pick Iowa State to go to a Final Four this week. Bloom and I did our preseason podcast that we do every year where we go game by game. We came up with, I think, 25-5.
Wow.
And I think we actually dumbed it down to 24-6 just because. So when you go game by game, though, it gets difficult because, like, on paper, you know, Iowa State probably is going to be favored in that many games, but you're not going to win every game that you're favored in at this point. Or, you know, that's just how it goes. That's how the punches fall. Mark, I'm curious, though, because I think you and Adam both, you guys represent fans,
yep.
I think, in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have both been Iowa State fans your whole life. I have not, so I can't speak for this. But I feel like, so we Bloom and I picked 25-5 or whatever, and I'm getting all this. It's like Iowa State fans are scared to be good.
I'd agree.
Do you agree with that? Because it's like there's all these expectations and it freaks them out. That's how I feel.
I'd agree with that. There's a phenomenon in life that's crazy when you think about it, but it's absolutely true that a lot of people are scared to succeed. And this usually applies to business, et cetera. But the thought of succeeding is scary. because you've got new things to figure out and new challenges, and what are you going to do with the money and taxes and et cetera. I think that applies a little bit to sports as well. We're not used to it. It's new territory for us. So it freaks you out a little bit. Okay, well, we're projected. Everyone's saying Final Four. So are we going to win 17 games this year, et cetera? Instead of, you know, imagine the mindset of a Kansas fan going into each year. It's like, Final Four, baby, booking my tickets. You know, we do it every year. There's no reason we're not going to do it now. We'll get there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
It's going to take a 25-win season where we beat all the teams we're supposed to beat. We don't have letdown games, et cetera. And this could be the year that that starts to happen.
Could be.
I'm excited to see it. I really am.
Well, they finally have the depth now where if, you know, if a guy goes down and has to miss a couple weeks, or they can actually fill in some pieces. I feel like a lot of those road games, you know, where Iowa State has stalled out on over the years. Well, now I just feel like this team is it's built more to go on the road. It's built, you know, because if one guy's having a cold night, you bring in another one. There's just so many more options for Hoiberg. And I don't know. I just feel like being around this team, the George Niang and Naz Long combination, not on the floor. I don't care about their stats. I'm talking about the leadership and the culture that those guys have. I don't know if they've created it. I don't think that's fair because there's been a lot of guys before them. But I do feel like there's a different mentality within the team this year.
Yeah, it seems like. I mean, it seems like confidence is at an all-time high with the team and with the program. And I mean, you hit it on the head. I think depth is what's going to take Iowa State from where they were last year in the Sweet 16 to over the hump, because I still think, and people might think I'm a little crazy in this, I still think Iowa State is maybe a step below most of the elite teams when it comes to talent. If you look at our roster, we got a lot of really, really good players, but most of the Kansases and even the Texases and these other teams, they have NBA guys, lottery picks. You look at Iowa State, I don't think we have a lottery guy on our team.
No.
That doesn't mean we don't have great football or great basketball players, but what...
They don't have great football players.
We know, we don't. Actually, I think a couple guys could probably play tight end or DN or something for us and be all right.
Bibbs is a great football player.
Yeah, there you go.
We got one.
But the depth is what I think had set us apart. And Hoiberg's style of offense and being able to get the ball up and down the court, he can now rotate guys in. They can stay fresh. And it's going to be really exciting to see this year what he does with got 8, 9, 10 guys that can play.
Well, and, you know, as far as the whole, are there enough minutes to go around? How happy is everybody going to be? If they're 10-0, 11-0, or 10-1, even that takes care of a lot of that too.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if Daniel Dozy's not playing as much as he wants, but if they're 10-0, I feel like he's going to be a heck of a lot easier to deal with in February than if they're 6-4.
Absolutely.
When you broke down the season, how many home games did you have them losing?
None.
None.
Zero.
Perfect at home.
Yeah. I had them beat in Kansas.
Okay.
Well, and we've only lost two home.
Certainly possible.
Well, the only team they've lost to in the last 2 years at home is Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and last year was predictable that we would lose because we weren't shooting the ball. And the year before that, we got screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. They should have won that game two years ago.
Yep.
No, you know what? And I think there are teams good enough in the Big 12 to win in Hilton. I actually think the team Monday night, If Iowa State doesn't play well, they can lose to Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they will. You would like to think that even with that Abdul Nader and Matt Thomas, that Iowa State, with the players that they have, can win that game at home, being that it's Hilton Coliseum, and they should. But I'm just saying, if you go out and shoot like you did against Kansas last year, remember that shooting performance? Mm-hmm. That's a game they can lose. I mean, I put it... Because what I've done is I've ranked the non-conference games, and I've done it based off of who's playing. This is why the non-conference is interesting for Iowa State. It's not the teams that they're playing. It's the Nader-Thomas deal, and it's Jameel McKay not being eligible until Drake.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've ranked it based off of where is it at, the opponent, and who's playing for Iowa State. And based off of that, the fact that Georgia State is the second game of the season, where Iowa State still has a lot of newcomers, fresh faces. Georgia State is a proven winning program now. They really don't have that many guys to incorporate into the mix. They're just a pissed off team because they got upset in their conference tournament game late last season. I think that could have been a team that's like your diaper dandy. You know what I mean? That's your Cinderella in the NCAA tournament. They were good enough to do that. Went 15-1 of their league. So there's not a much of a transition period there. So I think that's a tough game.
Did
Monday
they get
night.
Is it Kevin Ware from Louisville?
Yeah. He's like questionable though because he had a high ankle sprain early in camp. I'm talking like it's football, but early in practice. So I don't know if he's going to play or not. But even if he doesn't, they've got two NBA caliber guys. One of them, the Hunter kid, is probably going to go pro after his junior year. And I don't think Iowa State's, and I don't think George Niang's going pro after his junior year. I don't think Iowa State has a guy like that.
I would agree.
But you put DeJon Jones on him. I mean, you've got the guys to match up with him. It's Hilton Coliseum. If Iowa State won that game by 20, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm saying if they don't play well, they could lose that.
So you're ranking that right now as the toughest?
Second.
What's number one? Iowa. I agree.
At Iowa.
Okay, I agree.
And you know what? Arkansas is really good. I think Arkansas is going to – I think that's an NCAA tournament team. But the fact is you have Nader and Thomas in that one.
Yep.
You're a much better team with those two guys on the floor. And plus, the energy in Hilton's going to be good on Monday night, but it'll be great, I think, when Arkansas comes to town, because in a student's mind, oh, it's Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, nationally televised. Georgia State's nationally televised, too. But still, I don't know if they grasp how difficult of a game this should be. The good thing is, I know this for a fact, because assistant coaches have told me this, when they knew Georgia State was coming to town, that was a game they circled very early on, because they know this is – it's Georgia State, but they have Big 12 players.
Yeah. The players would see Georgia State on the schedule and not think twice about it unless the coaches kind of prepped them.
Yeah.
Who else is playing down in Kansas City? Who do we got?
It's Alabama. And then either Arizona State or Maryland.
So basically that should be Hilton South again. Should be.
Yeah, it should be.
Travel at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be to the extent as it was during the tournament, but it'll – I mean, that's a – that's a and it's a home game basically, and plus you've played there. I mean, they play there every year.
Yeah,
that's a significant advantage. I think South Carolina is a tricky game on January 3rd. It's Frank Martin. He's familiar with Iowa State. That doesn't matter, but their top player, Tyrone something, his name escapes me. They were without him for the majority of last year. He was averaging like 15 a game. Went down early on in the SEC schedule, and they just collapsed from there. I would say on paper is a much better team than South Carolina. But, you know, Adam, it's like it's after the holiday. You got to travel out to New York. Guys are excited. That could be a total letdown moment for the Cyclones.
And, you know, with Frank Martin, you're going to get a team that's just run through walls for him.
Absolutely.
I mean, that team's going to play hard. I don't think they're going to have the offense to compete with Iowa State.
They shouldn't.
But you're right. It is. It's not a road game, but it's a neutral game against a team that you know is going to bring it. So
yeah, I have that game ranked. I'll see if you guys agree with me. I have that game ranked harder or more difficult than either of the games in Kansas City. And Iowa State doesn't have Jameel McKay in Kansas City, keep in mind. And I think, both of those, I have Arkansas ranked tougher than that. But I just think that just that factor, you're traveling east, it's New Year's, Frank Martin, I don't know. I think it's I don't think it's a difficult game, but it's a little bit one I think you need to take seriously.
The first thing that comes to mind, though, when you say a team like South Carolina in basketball is I immediately start flipping through the Rolodex in my mind of past seasons, going all the way back to when I was born, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm looking for that moment where I understand or remember that South Carolina was relevant in basketball, and I come up with nothing. Nothing. Like, I can't picture tournament run.
They were,
I can't picture anything when it comes to them.
They were a two seed.
Lost to Coppin State.
Coppin State, yeah. Yep. It, the 2-15 game.
There you go, though. Yep. Even though a high seed, they did nothing. So
exactly.
Because the only reason I know that is because I remember, because Iowa State lost as a two seed to Hampton.
No, that didn't happen.
But that's the other game that always gets brought up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Duke and Lehigh or whoever it was a couple years ago.
Clearly not a power. South Carolina. Like, what?
Yeah, I disagree with you, Chris. I think Maryland is the game. I'd rank Maryland ahead of it. Turgeon, he's done a pretty decent job recruiting. He's had a little bit of bad luck, but that's a Big Ten. It seems weird to say Maryland.
That is very weird.
So weird.
A Big Ten school with a decent amount of talent. I think they're a lot better talent, more talented than South Carolina.
Yeah, and it's just the Sprint Center, though. I feel like Iowa State, that's just kind of their home away from home.
We're going on 1 year where we've had success in the Sprint Center.
Well, a couple years. They didn't play bad there 2 years ago.
They were terrible against Oklahoma.
They won the game.
Yeah, they were awful.
They won the game. Clyburn heroics.
Home crowd will make the difference.
I would agree with that.
That's my deal because, out there, there'll be some. I can't imagine South Carolina basketball travels very well out there either. That's just going to be one of those sterile environments. It's just weird stuff happens. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you can go wrong. Listen to what we're debating. It's a little bit ridiculous, but you nutbags who are listening on a Friday afternoon are eating it up. Charter, I saw you posted some deal. So let me get this let me get this right. Mm-hmm. So you were working a house deal a couple years ago, and this gal was not happy with her realtor, and she's like, I want that guy next time. That's how I comprehended what you posted on your Facebook page.
That was actually fairly recent. Yeah, I got a call out of the blue. I was in Vegas and woke up Sunday morning to a voicemail.
You were in Vegas again, or is that this?
No, no. Okay. The deal happened a while back, but this was recent story. So I checked the voicemail. It says, "Hey, this is so and so. I don't know if you remember me, but I sold my house last year, and you represented the buyer. So it wasn't my client." At all. I didn't even know the guy. I don't think I met him, frankly.
Okay.
And he said, I was just really impressed with how you handled their side of things. And now we want to buy another house and we want you to represent us. So that doesn't happen very common. I mean, they had hired another agent, obviously, to sell their house. So typically that person would go through that agent to buy. And I was racking my brain trying to think, what the heck did I do on this deal? So I don't know if I just kind of busted their balls a little bit over, you know, negotiated hard, but
got the deal though.
So I love phone calls like that. Must mean that I'm doing something right. But that was a good way to wake up Sunday morning in Vegas after losing all my money.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
So markcharter.com. And we're giving away Final Four tickets because you've guaranteed that Iowa State will make the Final Four.
Hey, the guarantee is when Iowa State makes the Final Four, when they make the Final Four this year, so someone doesn't call me 10 years from now, then we're going to give those tickets away on this podcast. That'll be the only way to know about them. I'm not going to Facebook it. Yep. Not going to do anything other than putting it on this podcast. This will be the way to do it. And every week I tease that more information is coming. And I promise that it is.
It will happen a bit.
But we're about to actually start basketball season.
Starting tonight.
So it'll be a fair way to do it. We'll come up with a nice way to give those tickets away. But if Iowa State makes the Final Four, I'll give away a pair of tickets to it to a listener, a loyal listener of this podcast. I'm going to let Chris decide. This is kind of his baby. So I have a feeling you'd be going no matter what. So
you're right.
You'll find a way.
Yeah.
Your wife lets you do anything you want. This is true.
I love you, honey. She's not gonna like hearing.
I guarantee you're going because I can already see you leading another bus trip out to Indy for the Final Four.
That would be a fun bus trip.
Absolutely.
That would be a good time. I've already looked at a couple bus trips.
No Brown
on the bus. You know, we'll have to make a lot of pit stops if that's going to be a rule out to Indy. How far of a drive is that? That's not too bad.
It's not bad. We drove through there on our way to Dayton.
Dayton was
11 hours. So,
Seven, eight, somewhere around
7-8 hours.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Wasn't bad. All right. Let's get to picks. And let me start by saying last week's performance by myself was just embarrassing. I sent Adam a text late Saturday night, and I said, I'm done. I'm done picking games. My mind is like mush. I have no reads on anything anymore. Because I screw around with the Big 12 too much. And weird stuff happens in the Big 12, if you haven't noticed this year. I mean, we all thought last week, man, West Virginia is going to steamroll Texas. I mean, it's every week just weird crap happens in this league. And I am too close to this league. And now, like, my mind is just absolute mush. I've got no confidence whatsoever. And I'm pretty much throwing in the towel.
I've only got one Big 12 game this week.
Yeah, just stay away from the league. It's just going to take your money.
Yeah. Well, Adam won last week, right?
Yes, I did.
You get to go first.
A strong 2-3.
Yeah,
so I was 0-3. Mark was 0-5. Mark was 1-4, and you were 2-3.
Yeah, I felt terrible about my picks until I went back and looked and saw how bad you guys did, and I felt a little better about myself.
You know what? You know what just pisses me off the most about lines. Mm-hmm. Is so we were talking about earlier, like the Ole Miss game 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who took Ole Miss in that game had the right read, right? Anybody did. Last week how the overtime works with Alabama LSU. That thing ends in regulation. LSU covers. You know what I mean?
6-point spread.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then Bama, like even if LSU gets the coin toss, the worst case scenario, they're going to kick a field goal. Lose by 4.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And it's just so infuriating. And that's why, folks, there's Mark here is about to give you his lock of the week.
I'm calling it the lock of the year.
Lock of the year,
because,
yeah.
Because the year is almost over. We only got a few weeks left.
Well, we'll do a bowl game extravaganza. We'll pick every bowl game. How about that?
Wow, by the spread or just straight up?
Spread.
Okay.
We're not a bunch of girls. Anybody can pick straight up.
Oh, man.
I love these guys, though, and you see them all, like media guys all over the place, where they pick these games straight up, and they'll be like, well, I'm 40-6 on the year. Yeah, douchebag. Pick against the number and tell me how good you're doing. So, Gray, go ahead.
All right. I'm ready.
Fire away.
The very first one, I'm taking Alabama -8.5 at home against Mississippi State.
Crazy.
I know. Alabama's been there many times. Saban's been there many times. This is new territory for Mississippi State. All the pressure in the world. They're going on the road. Hostile environment. I think Alabama drills them. I'm talking 21+. They win this game.
In the Cyclone Fanatic expert picks, I agreed with you. Except I have them winning by 10. I'm drilling.
Let me go on record. It's not one of my picks.
Okay.
But let me go on record. This is Mississippi State wins that game.
Oh, I know you're a big fan of Mississippi State.
Why you like their team?
I love their team. And Alabama is not as good as we typically think of Alabama.
I agree with you there.
I just think it's not their year. Mississippi State wins that game.
I will be cheering for Mississippi State.
I like your read on it, though. Just been there, done that type deal with Bama. And I feel like Saban just lives for this moment, doesn't he?
He does. And, you know, you're right. Alabama's had a ton of just lackadaisical game so far. They should have lost to Arkansas. You should have lost to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, you look at that line, it doesn't make sense. Really, 8.5 is a big number going into that game.
I was surprised.
So that right there kind of tipped me off. Something looks a little iffy there. And then I said, you know what? Saban's been there. He's done that. He's going to blitz. They're going to stop Prescott and make him try to beat him throwing. I don't think they can do it. I like Alabama big.
Okay.
I'm going to stick in the SEC here, too. I'm going to take South Carolina +7 at Florida. South Carolina's had a really rough stretch lately.
I like that pick.
They keep losing close games.
Yeah.
I still don't trust Florida, though, offensively to score a lot of points, and I think South Carolina can't score points. I like them to actually win that game straight up.
Which team shows up, though? You got Florida that gets beat at home, and then they go on the road and win.
Yep.
You've got South Carolina looks horrible against Texas A&M, and then that's a tough one because, like, who are those teams?
And South Carolina is almost like the Rams of the NFL. They start off, they play really good early, and they can't finish a game. They end up losing these games.
Yep.
They're coming off a bye week. Spurrier off a bye week. I just trust them. I think they go in and get a win. This one, I hope I'm wrong. I kind of like the Alabama game. I like Florida State -2.5 at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope I'm wrong, but that, I mean,
hey, I took that game too, and I have it at 1.5.
You have it at 1.5? I'll take the 1.5 then.
Okay.
Too. All right.
Yeah. That's what I got it at.
Yeah. I don't think I need to dissect that game too much. I just think Florida State's better. Period.
I do too. And Miami, there's a trend with them where they're really good against average talent, but when they go up against good talent, that defense seems to, I don't know, though, I could see that being a low scoring game too.
I mean, my big thing too is Miami. Are they starting to sell out that stadium? I know it's at Miami, but that's been a horrible.
There's going to be a lot
advantage.
Of Florida State fans.
Exactly,
at that football
that's
game.
A horrible home field advantage. Yeah. So, I just look at that game and Florida State will probably start off slow, like they always do. They'll get down maybe 10 points, and then second half they'll just turn it on and they'll win that game by 10+.
Go ahead and take it at 1.5, though.
Okay,
right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, I'm going to go to the NFL for these next two picks. Give me the Cleveland Browns at -3 over the Houston Texans, who are starting Ryan Mallett at quarterback.
At Cleveland, at Houston.
At Cleveland.
I like that pick.
Yeah. Browns are playing. Their defense is fantastic right now. Mm-hmm. They're getting a little bit better offensively. I think Cameron's back and healthy at tight end. I like them over Houston. And then I am actually staking in the same division. I like the Steelers at -6 at Tennessee, Monday Night Football. Tennessee starting with, who's their quarterback right now? Mettenberg, right?
Mettenberg.
First game of Monday Night Football, Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers. They've been there before.
Throw for like 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean.
Thanks for showing up against the Jets, Big Ben, by the way. There was a lot.
I traded him high on my fantasy league.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, but you know who I got in return?
Who?
Hillman from the Broncos.
Ooh, not good. And then Anderson goes out and just kills it.
Yep.
Yeah, fantasy football is a lot like picking games at the spread.
Great deal, just, wasn't it?
So those
it does. I had Tom Brady, so it didn't really matter. I was playing with house money, but
oh yeah, you're good then.
Yeah.
So those are my 5 picks. You guys want to dissect them? Last week, you guys killed my Michigan State Ohio State game, which I was right on. I just wanted to bring that up, but
that was a surprising game to me. the outcome, how much they win by, how good Ohio State looked,
how much they scored offensively. I thought
49
they,
points. Yeah. And yeah. I did not see that coming at all.
Just more proof of the how average the Big Ten is.
I think what we need to do is we need to call that old offensive coordinator of ours who's now at Ohio State and bring him back to be the head coach. What do you think, Chris?
Oh,
I'm kidding, guys.
Oh, you know what, though? If Rhodes were to get fired, Tom Herman better be on the list. I don't think he would get it, but I think he'd be on the he has to be on a list.
You would think so. Yep. I'm not saying we should fire Rhodes either. That was a joke. Fanatics, from everyone listening.
It didn't sound like one. It sounded pretty real.
I'm leaning more towards reality on that one, too, after the Kansas game.
Mark.
All right.
Who you got, man?
Here's the five winners.
Are you going to do the lock of the year right now? Or
that'll be that'll be last.
You got me on the edge of my seat, dude.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'll be a little anticlimactic, but it is what it is. All right, first pick, and I'm totally drawing a blank on who I picked them over. North Carolina minus 2.5. If you guys happen to know who the Tar Heels are playing this week, I'm drawing a blank.
I actually looked at that game, too.
I did not write it down on my
phone. I'll find it. Do you want me to find it
for
you?
Sure, if you want to.
I'll find it for you.
It's a home game. It's 2.5 points. North Carolina is not bad. They've scored a lot of points.
Yeah, it's Pitt.
Yeah. So 2.5 points over Pitt. North Carolina played extremely well at Notre Dame. I think North Carolina is a good team at home. I don't think Pitt's that impressive. They got a great running back, but overall, not that impressive. My Big 12 pick this week, huge number. TCU minus 29 over Kansas at Kansas, primarily because style points. They're playing a garbage team.
Yep.
They have to win big. They're up in the top four. They're not gonna lay off the gas.
So Kansas did not impress you in its route of Iowa State?
No. No. No.
I was being facetious.
That was such an ugly game. What talk about that was just yeah, that was disappointing. So yeah, TCU minus 29 over Kansas, huge number. I see 49, 10, 56, 17, something like that.
Okay.
So I see them covering.
I like that.
Moving to the SEC, just because they really can't win that well in the SEC, LSU plus 2 at Arkansas. I don't like taking the road dog. LSU is a better team. I do think they have a better coach, although some Big Ten fans might disagree with that. Arkansas just hasn't proved that they can win.
They've lost 17 in a row in the conference.
There you go. There's my reasoning.
Yeah, Chris and I were just talking about this. They're a really weird team because you watch them play. They're not that bad. Arkansas is actually, but they can't win.
They find a way to lose.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. They find a way to lose.
Should have beat Alabama.
Yeah, they should have.
So LSU plus 2. Staying in the SEC, this will be not that close, in my opinion. Although the spread is Georgia minus 2 over Auburn. Georgia wins by at least 2 touchdowns.
Ooh, I like Auburn in that game.
In that
3
game.
Down. Okay.
Yeah, Georgia rolls in that game. I think Auburn's kind of just, they're burnt out.
I've got that game too.
They were going big and that's done. All right, my lock of the year. Unfortunately, we're duplicating a pick here, but this is my lock of the year. Take it to the bank. Get ready to buy your second house. Whatever you need to do. Florida State. Minus 1.5 against Miami. That is a lopsided game.
We all three have that game.
Florida State
wow.
is... Okay, here's a couple things. Florida State has won 25 in a row, I believe is the number.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
It's right up there.
They don't lose. Every game that Jameis Winston has started, they've scored at least 31 points. Miami's not going to be able to keep up with them. Miami's just not that good. Period. They're just not that good. Florida State has been there. They've done that. They want to get back. I do not see any chance that Miami wins that game. That's my lock of the year. Take it to the bank. Wrap it up. Give it as a Christmas present.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing that all three of us had that game?
Well, based on last week, that's a horrible thing.
But we're all pretty confident. That's the first one I have here.
Okay.
That's number one on my list, too.
Because
what I always do with these things, I rank them confident to least confident.
I just looked this up. Florida State is 2-7 this year against the spread.
Yeah, but when a spread is
it's
a
low.
Point,
yeah, but if they don't make this spread, they've lost the game. That's the way that I look at it.
That's how I agree. I completely agree. And the whole Miami, it's not this. It's not like you're going into Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, I mean, there'll be empty seats there probably. I mean, in past years.
And if there's any team that can handle it, it's Florida State. They've been number one forever. They've been going on the road.
Jameis is just, love him or hate him, he wins games. Mm-hmm. He finds that Louisville game. If you're not a believer in Jameis Winston and Florida State, I mean, he was horrible in that game. I mean, he's thrown into triple coverage, and he still figured out a way to win.
And the comeback, if you guys watched that game, the comeback looked easy.
Yeah.
Like, they were way down, but then it's just kind of like, ho-hum, you know, wide open receivers, just gradually coming back. And it felt like it wasn't actually in doubt the second half, even though they were down big.
Don't you think, too, because I'll lead this into one of my picks here, that Miami's still one of those teams that their lines are inflated because of their name? I think that they get a there are very few teams that are like that, but I think Miami's lines are inflated.
Well, there's been teams like that. I mean, Virginia Tech's a team that's known for football. Their lines have been inflated all year, or off all year.
Which is why I like Duke at 5.5 over Virginia Tech at home. Duke is and this Duke is the opposite. People just associate Duke with garbage football.
Yeah.
They're 11-1 in their last 12 home games against the line. They always hit the over. Like Duke, you can make a lot of money betting Duke just watching trends.
They just covered last week at Syracuse, won 27-10. I think it was a 7-point line or so.
Four.
Harder place to win and look good. I agree. Duke's better.
They score a lot of points.
But people think Duke, Virginia Tech, they automatically think Virginia Tech will win. Not this year.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we all are on that Florida State one. We'll see. That would be a huge shock to me too, though. I just like say I think Jameis is one of those destiny type guys, right or wrong. But he knows how to win. I have Georgia 2.5 over Auburn. I don't trust Georgia, and I guess that bounce back for Auburn would make sense. I don't think they're as bad as they looked. Mm-hmm. I just can't see Georgia losing with Gurley
back.
Coming back, I can't find a scenario in which they lose with him. You know how fired up that team's going to be to have its leader back? And I when it's 2.5, I'm like you, Mark. I go, it's like I'm just picking win or loss.
Yeah.
At 2.5.
No one, when they see a 2-point spread, is going, is this team going to win by one?
Yeah.
I mean, it does happen, but nobody thinks
that. But that's not how you pick the game.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, you like Auburn. Why do you like Auburn?
You know, I like him to rebound. I think they can score a lot of points against Georgia. But as I'm saying this, Auburn hasn't stopped anyone in how many weeks now? Their defense is beyond pathetic.
Yeah.
So you get Gurley back. I guess I don't like it as much as I initially did.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It's one of those tweeners. All right, I'm going to take an over.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to change it up. Ohio State at Minnesota. The line is 56.5.
Mm-hmm.
Here are a few trends. Ohio State's 8-0 with the over in its last 8 games.
Hmm.
And the Buckeyes are 6-1 against the spread in its last 7, so they're scoring points clearly, and they're 6-2 against the line in its last 8 meetings against Minnesota. So point being Minnesota's at home. They have a lot of good feelings. They can score. And we know Ohio State can score.
As we saw last week.
Yeah, so I just feel like this is going to be – I actually like Minnesota to cover. I think it's like 13 now.
It was 14, and I was tempted to take Ohio State. But then the trump card for that game is weather. How cold is it?
That's true.
Going to be, because the production does typically go down.
There is snow on the field.
Yeah. So
right
when,
now.
When you can't feel your fingers, it's harder to catch the ball.
And that does scare me. But when I see a trend like 8-0 against the line, or, you know, against, I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah.
Don't bet against a streak is what I was always taught.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll with it. And again, I already noted how non-confident I am in everything. So if I find a streak, I'm going to try and ride it this week. That's what I'm trying
to do. Like Jameis Winston, 25 in a row or whatever the case is.
Exactly. And I probably should take LSU because of that and go against Mr. Bielema. Duke, 5.5 over Virginia Tech for reasons we already stated. And this one is – I'm not real confident in it, but I know that Abdullah in Nebraska, he's frail right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that 6 is enough for Camp Randall in Wisconsin. So I'm going to take the 6 and say that Wisconsin wins a good game by a touchdown over Nebraska.
I tend to agree with that as well. It'll be close.
Yeah, I think that's a 7-14 point game tops.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that Wisconsin can do what Alabama did against me last week.
If Bo Pelini doesn't win that division this year, with as bad as the Big Ten in that division is he fired?
Probably.
They fired Solich.
He almost got fired last year.
Yeah. if it wasn't for the Hail Mary against, was it Northwestern?
Yeah.
He'd probably have been fired.
Would you, would Bo Pelini not be an interesting candidate to someday coach Iowa State?
I don't think he'd be accepted.
I don't think that Jamie Pollard would hire him.
But
I'm talking about a guy who, if Iowa State were ever to hire another football coach, don't you want a guy who kind of just flips off the, I don't want to hear about the past.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I don't think, I agree with you though. He'd be a really hard guy for the good old nice people of Ames, Iowa to go to coffee with.
Rhodes has his antics on the sideline for sure, but
he's a good guy.
He has bitter beer face.
Yeah.
On the sideline, if you know what I mean. Have you guys seen Fargo, the movie?
I have not.
Have you seen Fargo?
I've heard good things.
No, I don't think so.
My story is meaningless now, but he looks like an actor.
Who, Pelini or Rhodes?
Pelini.
Oh, okay.
Pelini looks like an actor. The one that sticks his buddy in the wood chipper in Fargo. Oh. People listening will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very famous scene. But that actor, his name is Peter something. It's a weird last name. But him and Pelini look similar.
I have a weird deal with Pelini because anybody who knows me knows that I've just been, over the life of me, I can't stand Nebraska. It's a deal where I grew up in Western Iowa. All those Husker fans in Western Iowa who are just front runners just drove me nuts growing up. Just terrorized any Iowa and Iowa State fans growing up. And it was just nauseating that these kids, you know, their parents were front runners and now the kids are front runners and they don't give a damn where they pay their taxes and just drove me nuts. But last year after that Iowa game, after they lost and Pelini was like, hey, you want to fire me? Fire me. I was like, damn, I like this guy.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And I found myself consciously this year rooting for Nebraska. It's the damnedest thing. I've never rooted for Nebraska in my life, but now I'm actually cheering for them.
How did it feel?
It feels fine. I like Abdullah. Like watching him play ball. I like Tommy Armstrong. And I really want Pelini just to just piss off his detractors out there in Nebraska. I think it's great.
I'm showing you this picture. No one on this podcast can see it, but that's Pelini and Peter Stormare his name.
That guy looks like a UFC fighter.
This actor. He's always plays a villain.
Yeah, he really does look like Bo Pelini.
I know.
Wow.
Every time I see movies with him in it, I think of Bo Pelini. So if you're listening at home or on your way to the bar, Peter Stormare, look that up.
All right. Iowa State and Oakland.
Did you get all 5-year picks in?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Here, I'll read them off to you.
Okay.
Wisconsin over Nebraska at 6. Duke at 5.5. I like the over in Ohio State, Minnesota. Mark kind of scared me on that one, though.
You can change it right now if you can think of another game.
Okay. Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Do you mind?
Sure.
Because I forgot about the snow. I had forgotten about that. And
you forgot it gets cold in Minnesota.
You know what's funny, though? Because I'm a Vikings ticket holder, right? Mm-hmm. And they sent out an email needing help to shovel out the stadium.
Aren't we supposed to get us a lot of snow on Saturday?
Like 3 inches.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Not a lot.
Yeah. Something like 1 to 3.
That's depressing.
I'm gonna ride the streaks, and I'm going to go with LSU.
All right, there
you go. Plus two.
There
I'm going to switch that. Are you okay with that, Adam?
I'm okay because I actually like Arkansas in that game to finally get a win after Arkansas got devastated at home against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call this a best bet for me. This is more of a, I'm just going to keep riding streaks and hopefully go 3-2 and get into the winner's circle.
I mean, Arkansas's got to win at some point, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to.
It's like my theory on Kansas. I've been saying that for 2 years. I'm like, well, eventually they're going to jump up and bite somebody.
You've been saying that for 4 years. Yeah. You've been saying that since Turner Gill got there.
And then it happened.
It started off as a joke, and then it was kind of like, all right, this is actually kind of funny. We're going to keep riding this.
Your famous words were always, you know, I really actually kind of like this Kansas team. Yeah.
They play hard. It's a gritty group.
Because this is the last, switching back to basketball real quick, because this is the last podcast before the season officially gets going, I think now is an appropriate time for a prediction for Iowa State this year. How far do they go?
Oh.
Who wants to be brave and go first?
I'll go first. I think they do one better than they did last year. I think they make the Elite Eight, and I think they fall just short of going to the Final Four.
Okay.
It's so hard to pick like tournament predictions.
We know.
Yeah,
make a pick.
Oh, shoot. No, I'm going to say they get to the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, okay.
They lose in the Sweet 16.
I will split the difference a little bit. I think they win the Big 12 championship again in Kansas City. I think they repeat down there. And I also think they'll improve by one game over the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. And I'd love it if they went to the Final Four. But
then you'd be out some money.
That's okay, man. Life's short. That's money I'm willing to spend. It's like someone would have said, like, man, if the Royals make the World Series, you're going to have to buy tickets for your dad. I would have been like, sweet, let's do it. You know, that was a fun trip. So I've already bought my coffin. It's not big enough to take the money with me. So
have you really already bought your coffin?
No.
I was going to say, that's a little bit weird.
I do have a plot, though. I have a plot.
Oh, that's where's your plot? Up in Ames?
Up in Ames.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, yeah. I don't really feel like I need to worry. I'm getting buried back home.
Really? Like on the farm somewhere?
Yeah, so I don't need to like...
Plenty of land there.
Right next to the hog confinement. You know,
my granddad, they're right on hole 9 at the Clarinda Country Club.
Really?
Not on the hole, but overlooking it.
Like you putt over them? Kind of a deal?
Actually, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when
I almost drove that green.
Yeah, BS.
And then shake my chip. Dude, no, don't go. Don't
the worst round of golf Adam Gray has ever played was at the Clarinda Country Club. Cost us a championship that day.
We tied for first. My driving was fine.
It's kind of weird, especially when you're in your 30s, to kind of know like where you're going to spend, at least on this earth, eternity. Yeah. Like right there in that spot. It's like, all right.
Where are you going to get buried, Adam?
I haven't thought that far. I don't know.
Brian Johnson.
I don't know.
He's going to be the first one to never die.
What a freaking weird conversation we got.
By now, someone's definitely cracked
the
beer.
Yeah,
and they're like, all right, whatever, I'll go with it.
If you're Friday after class, you start talking about some weird stuff.
I know you do.
I like to do the old Talladega Nights line. You know, with my level of income and modern technology, there's no reason to think I can't live to be 200, 250 years old. So I don't think of that stuff yet.
No reason to plan ahead at all. No reason.
Very, very well played right there, Adam Gray. Wanted to touch on one more thing. So we've got Thanksgiving coming up. Gray, I know you are a craft beer. You like craft beers,
yeah,
right?
I do.
Mark,
I do.
We've talked about, you're not a huge like craft beer guy, are you?
I'm not a picky beer guy.
Okay.
If you gave me a good craft beer, I would drink it.
So I got one the other night at Hy-Vee. It is a sweet potato ale.
Yeah, I've had it.
Unbelievable.
It's okay.
What do you mean it's just okay? What do you want from it?
I had it I was at a wedding the night of the Iowa State Texas game, and they had it there at the wedding, and I said,
they had it like on tap?
Not on tap. No,
I was going to say, what kind of wedding is this?
No, that'd be nice. And I had it, and I thought it was, let's just say this, I had one, and I went back to Bud Light. It didn't do much for me. I thought it was okay.
So describe it a little bit. Is it actually like, take your first sip, and you're tasting sweet potatoes? Which are yummy,
yeah,
by the way.
That's exactly how I would describe it.
Okay. What's it called?
Sweet potato ale.
That's what it's called.
Yes.
Very specific.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's like some brewery in Illinois.
Okay.
They
have it at Hy-Vee?
Yeah, I bought it at Hy-Vee.
I might have to go try this.
Yeah, it's in the, like, they've got like a fall beer section.
Yeah.
That's why I found it, and I'm a big fan. I like pumpkin type beers, and I like fall and winter beers, like I'm in heaven, and I love trying new ones. Like I just love the dark stuff. And I was like, I'm gonna give this a shot. I tweeted. Apparently, they have it on tap down at the keg stand too.
Okay.
Where we're gonna have our. Where it looks like I'm gonna be buying you guys.
So when you buy the beers for us, then okay, I'm gonna be having some sweet potato.
Sweet potato ale.
What is your favorite winter beer? Since that's right around the corner.
Yeah. Okay. So I really. And this is kind of boring, but I think it's just fantastic. Is the Sam Adams Winter Lager. Yeah. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I had the other, so I went into Hy-Vee, this was on Sunday, got out of church and I went and bought beer. And I bought Goose Island. I believe Goose Island, they're the ones that make 312.
Out in Chicago, yes.
Yeah, they make, and I don't even remember what the name is, but it's a very festive looking bottle, like Christmassy type bottle. And I loved it. Again, I don't know the name of it. I've only had it one time in my life. I thought it was really good. I like the Shiner Cheer, I think is really good. It's very fruity-ish, mm-hmm. if you don't mind that. But it's a wheat, and I love wheats. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense. And then I'm a big fan of it. It's really dark, and this is pretty bold. But it's the Boulevard. I believe it's Nutcracker.
Hmm.
I think it's what it's called. Yeah, it's Boulevard's like wintery seasonal. Those are just a few off the top of my head.
I got to get on this. I'm the only one I've had is the Sam Adams that you said.
Dude, the Sam Adams is unbelievable.
It's good.
Like,
it's
if
good
you're asked, like, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite beers ever, is that Sam Adams Winter Lager. I think it's just fantastic.
Not a winter brew, but have you guys been to Fire Trucker yet here in Ankeny?
No, I haven't. I've heard awesome things, though.
Yeah.
Where is it at?
Do you know where Rinaldo's is?
No.
Do you know where Old Main Street is in Ankeny?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's there.
Like where the Bear used to be?
Well, yeah, okay. So you walk out the door of the Bear.
Yep.
You turn to your left. You're basically looking at Fire Trucker.
Oh, is it a brewery?
It's a brewery. It's their old fire station. That's where the name came from. Ankeny's old fire station. So, like, the tables are like old doors from the fire station. And they got fire station pictures and stuff like that. But, yeah, the tanks are right behind the bar. It's a brewery. They brew their own stuff.
Wow.
So I've never heard of this place.
Why don't we ever do that?
Never.
You need to check it out. We need to do the show live from Fire Trucker. That's what we need to do.
Hey.
Boom. Not that it would take you any work to move the gear.
Actually,
anything,
it wouldn't be hard. It truly would not be hard.
I bet they'd be totally fine with doing that. So there you go. There's an idea.
Will they let us drink?
Probably. If we mention Fire Trucker.
It's because you sponsor the podcast, so if you don't mind if I'm drinking while I'm doing
this. I absolutely do not care.
I won't lie. When Bloom comes over on Monday nights to record during basketball season, yeah, I'd say we drink a good 90 to 95% of the time when we record that thing.
That's the advantage of
doing the hack blogger thing like we're doing here at Fanatic than like working for a big corporation or something. Yeah.
So how about this? I go into Fire Trucker and I say, by the way, we want to do the podcast from here. All we ask is a few free beers for each of the hosts, and we'll mention Fire Trucker a bunch of times.
Seems like a great deal to me.
I can't complain about this.
No.
Yeah.
I like homegrown beer, too. To me, like, if you put two beers in front of me, and I know one's from Iowa, and I know one's from, like, Illinois, I will favor the one from Iowa, even if it doesn't taste as good to me.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally, it tastes better because it was brewed in Iowa.
It's like football players that play for Iowa State. They are better than the football players coming elsewhere because they're from Iowa.
Now, do you like Templeton Rye because it's not brewed in Iowa?
I got an honest opinion on Templeton Rye. I used to love it. It's kind of worn on me, though.
It was weird in Vegas. I was looking at menus, I had ingredients of cocktails, and like it says Templeton Rye. I mean, they're everywhere now.
Yeah.
I think it's good,
but I won't lie. 3 years ago, I was like really sucked into the marketing that they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And now, I mean, I've got like two bottles at my house, and you know what? After that North Dakota State game, I think I drank half a bottle that night. Rob Gray came over, and we just drank Templeton on the rocks. It was a bad night.
Nothing like drinking the blues away.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what we did.
I like that.
No, where was I going with that? I don't even know. I had a point to make, but I know what we should do. This would be a fun day. My wife, since she's Prego, can drive us. We got to go down to the Peace Tree Brewery in Knoxville. Have you guys ever been down there?
I've heard of it.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. See, what I like to do when I go down to the races down there in Knoxville, I'll go and have a couple of drafts there, and then you go and do your tailgating and all that. But they've got a really good Christmassy type beer that they just put on tap, and that's an easy drive. I mean, Knoxville's only like 45 minutes to an hour, just depending on how fast you're driving. That's a really cool place to go down to.
I'm game.
This show will quickly become the Friday After Work special, brought to you by a local brewery to be named later.
Yeah,
which isn't a bad deal. They're springing up all over the place. It's cottage industry.
Yeah, no, it really is. All right, thanks, guys. Adam, I appreciate your time. Mark, best way to get a hold of you is what, your website, markcharter.com?
Smoke signals.
Is your busy season the spring? Like, how does this work for a realtor?
Busiest season is the spring. I would say I've got 5, 6, 7 properties scheduled to close sometime soon now. I've got buyers I'm working with. So even though the weather's changing, it's still fairly busy, but not so busy that I can't help somebody. But other than smoke signals, the best way to get a hold of me is probably my website, markcharter.com, or by phone, which you can Google. I won't give that out here.
Yeah,
and,
good
you know,
I'm
easy to find. Twitter, Facebook, smoke signals, text, whatever.
Oh, and I should let you guys know, we may have to change when we record next week because I'm on jury duty. Hopefully I don't get picked.
Is that the day or is it for the day before?
No, I got like the whole week apparently.
Because in most cases you get dismissed and it never even happens.
Is this true?
Yeah.
That's what people have told me.
Yeah.
So they gave me a number to call like 5 o'clock on Friday.
Do not be surprised at all if the trial's canceled and you don't have to go at all. That's really common.
That'd be amazing.
They reach a plea deal and it just doesn't go to trial.
Because the thing they gave me, it says 1 week or one trial. Whatever lasts the longest is what it says.
Yeah.
What does that mean, though?
Most people I know that get called for jury duty don't serve on jury duty. they go sit there, they get ruled out, or there's no trial at all.
So I will have to go on Monday morning, chances are.
I don't know.
They said they gave me a number, and I have to call tomorrow, well, which would be today, Friday. Mm-hmm. I've got it, and it will either say my number or it won't.
I guarantee you, here's my other lock of the week. you'll be here recording this next week. That's my lock of the week. So,
well, if not, it's going to be a really crappy week.
Because your typical trial, it's not an axe murder situation. Yes. It's like a one-day deal, yeah, and you're done anyway. Yeah. So you'll be here.
All right.
If you are, I'll write the columns. Don't worry. I'll take care.
No, I don't know what's going to happen. I truly don't know what's going to happen at Fanatic. That's the problem with there's no backup. You know what I mean? If I'm gone, it's like, I mean, Rob can do some writing, but as far as others, nobody knows how to do anything.
If you're gone,
you guys better hope I never die.
Cyclone Fanatic will crash if you're gone.
Adam, sure. If the website, what would you do if I was in jury duty and the site went down?
I would email Sam.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Cross his fingers.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah. I know the answer to that question.
And then just start praying.
Yeah.
Actually, since Sam took over, we really don't have to worry about that.
No.
I don't remember the last time the site crashed.
When Bo Williams rattled off a 44-yard run.
It did. That was the most epic site crash of all time.
When things like that happen to me, I just start unplugging and plugging back in.
Yeah, no, you can't do that with this
plan.
Bad boy, unfortunately. All right, for Mark Charter Real Estate, and Adam Gray, thanks for listening, everybody. If you're heading up to Hilton tonight, be careful. It's going to be cold. It's going to snow this weekend. Don't drive like a moron. Thanks for listening.